Well, Father, Lord, we thank you for the topic tonight is really interesting. You know, we always hear about angels manifesting around people, and we're just really not real sure at times what their ministry is. We know they're messengers, but hopefully tonight we can clear up some things, Father, and I thank you for your intervention, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome time with you. And I praise you for it, Father. I ask that you bless everybody on here tonight, Lord, with your anointing. And fill us up with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And also, Lord, we're still praying for revival. We need that breath of the Holy Spirit running through here like a tornado, Father. And just waking everybody up and filling us and encouraging us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. And I thank you for that. We need it, Lord, to overcome this old nasty flesh life that we live. And I thank you, Lord, that you're doing that in Jesus' name. You said we could look in the mirror and see you, Lord. We got it made because that's the gospel. We do it all by faith, and we just believe that you're doing it in us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Has anybody got a prayer request? All right. Yeah, go ahead, Tim.
Well, this is kind of a tough one for us, but I'd like everybody to join us and stand in faith for a complete and speedy healing for my daughter, my oldest daughter. She crashed somebody's four-wheeler into a parked car on Sunday and loaded herself up pretty good. Spent a couple days in the hospital, but it's home now, but we've got a lot of healing to do. And hoping for God to do a work in her. I guess this might be one roundabout way of doing it. Wasn't what we were expecting, but anyway, we all agree with us that she's going to be healed and have no lasting effects from the wreck. Appreciate it.
Amen. You want to pray? You want me to? Yeah, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we lift up Katie to you that addition to bringing her around and bringing her into the fold, that you would get manifest a physical healing of her spinal injuries and her scars that she's going to have, that they wouldn't be too noticeable for her, and that she would get use of her arm back quick, and the bones would heal, and that she rejoin society and take over mothering again and be a good mother and be a good witness for you. Thank you for that. Jesus.
Amen. Lord, we hook our faith up with Tim, and we just believe that this is going to happen. You're going to do a mighty miracle here, Lord, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Well, y'all believe with me for a minute. Just a brief deal here. I think I told this Tuesday night that they took Blake to the rehab, and he was high when he went in there, so they had to send him to a detox place, which is a hospital down the road from where my house is. And it's actually a real good place for him. The last time they sent him, they just put him in a room for 2 or 3 days, I forget what it was, and turned him loose. These people are actually trying to figure out what his problem is. He says he has anxiety problems and ADHD and DHD and all of that kind of stuff. They're trying to put all kinds of curses on him. In fact, they've done that all his life. And he uses that sometimes, but at least they're trying to find the root of the cause. And of course, we know what the root of the cause is. It's a spirit of rejection and unforgiveness, and I just believe that God's going to take this to straighten this boy out and get his mind on the Lord. Once again, Father, I just lift up Blake to you, and I thank you, Lord, that you are doing a mighty work in him. I believe it, Lord. I believe it with all my heart. I believe you're going to do a mighty work in him. You're going to turn him around. He's going to be a blessing to his family instead of a curse like he's been over the last 20-something years. And Lord, we thank you that, I shouldn't say that. last 10 years maybe. And Father, we just thank you that you're going to do a mighty work in him, and he's going to turn people around himself. You're going to make that evangelist out of him that you showed me so many years ago. And he's going to turn his brother's life around. He's going to turn his mama's and dad and all of them. Lord, I just believe that. I believe, Lord, that you're going to do a mighty and quick work in that young man. And he's going to be a good daddy and a good husband, and also a good evangelist for you, Lord. And I believe that, I speak that, and I decree it in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that it is being done even as we speak. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Amen. Everybody believe that with me? Amen. I do too. Yeah, Obadiah does too. Go on, boy. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request, testimony or praise report, or just something they want to talk about? You know, yeah, go ahead, Angelica.
I'd like prayer.
Okay.
I'd like the Lord to just heal me and lift me up from being discouraged, and just strengthen my faith and my walk in him.
All right. Well, Lord, we just we believe with Angelica that you're already doing those things, because she wants it. She asked for it. You said, those who ask in my name shall have it. And Lord, I just thank you for her healing. I command healing in her body right now, from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet right now. Every organ in her body be healed. Every tissue in her body be healed. Everything in her body be healed in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you that we have authority over the enemy. And in the name of Jesus, we command that spirit of discouragement to go, oppression to go, depression go right now in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, that that you're placing the joy of the Lord in her heart. And we thank you for it, Father. We break all generational curses that may be coming upon her right now in Jesus' name. She's a child of God. She ain't got to put up with that. And we break it right now and cast it down as null and void in Jesus' name. And we praise you, Father, for Angelica's complete deliverance in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you're placing in her a perseverance and endurance in the Word of God like she's never had before. That she's gonna go through this fire just like the three Hebrew boys. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, she's gonna be walking out the other side with a smile on her face and a skip in her walk, because she has been set free by the power of the blood of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that Angelica is set free, delivered, and healed in the name of Jesus. You believe that, Angelica?
Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Yes,
thank
sir.
You. Glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And everybody else in here said, amen. So be it. Well, okay. Anybody else? My, my, my. I feel the Holy Spirit in here, Angelica. You fixing to get a blessing, girl. you fixing to get a blessing, I believe. Thank you, Lord. Now, see Obadiah? Yeah, he's just having a fit up there. Glory to God. He said, yes, that's right. That's right. Glory to God. Thank you, Father.
He needs to stomp your feet, Angelica, just showing that he's under your feet now.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Okay. We have a song that we sing up here in the fellowship called The Enemy's Camp. And we sing that thing, and some of the people get out and dance around. And when he says, how's that go, Matt?
He's under our feet.
Yeah, okay. You
knew that. Stomp, right?
Yeah. And then we stomp. We jump up and down or stomp or whatever, you know. And take back what the devil has gotten from us, you know. And it's just a good song. Anyway, That's what we do. All right. Anybody else?
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hey, Andrew, go ahead, brother.
I'm going to ask for prayer for my son because I phoned him today. His name is Benjamin. It's his birthday today. He's going to be 21. Well, he is 21 today. He's going to come and visit me on the weekend. And he told me that tomorrow he's got an interview for a job. And I told him to pray about that. And I also told him, though, that you do realize if you get this job, you know that there's more to this than meets the eye. The Lord will be answering your prayer, you know. And so I'm just going to ask for prayer that he gets this job for the interview that he has tomorrow in the morning. So, Lord, I hold my son Benjamin before you, Lord. I ask that you use this opportunity, Lord, to draw my son ever closer to you. He's going to have an interview tomorrow, Lord. I pray, Lord, that my son would answer all the questions correctly, that he would be the best pick for them to have, and that you would give him favor in that interview, and bless him well, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just believe with Andrew that that boy is going to get the job, and he's going to realize it was you that gave it to him. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right. I believe that. Anybody else?
Michael, I know I'm not under the curse, but there's certain things hanging over me, and I was praying that God would free me from them, a lot of sicknesses and things, and I know that that's not supposed to be. So I've been trying, you know, one of the persons, yes, Tuesday talked about that in Joshua or wherever it was that not all the enemy was chased out at one time. They took it out. You know, there was some in the land while, you know, they took it out in portions. Anyways, I was even before that I've been praying that God would free me from things like tinnitus, tinnitus, and a few other things that I knew I didn't have to go through so much torture if I didn't get healed. Like if I got off the medication, there would be side effects to that, unless God healed me totally. I tried to get off of some, and it didn't work. So I was praying that God would free me from tinnitus, because there's no medicine set for tinnitus, and also for sleep apnea. Well, I have a CPAP machine, but I've been sleeping without it somewhat, and that's retarded there. But I'm not getting anywhere with the tinnitus, and I need to go a whole night without the CPAP before I can claim the complete victory, or God's victory, you know. Rejoice in his healing. I know he's got us, you know, that he doesn't have these diseases for us. He wants us to be free. And I just was wondering, should I be doing that, or should I go up with everything at once? I'm not getting any results with the tinnitus. Matter of fact, one ear was ringing lightly, and the other ear was ringing louder. Now they're both ringing loud. And that's what tinnitus is, ringing in your ears. Well, I don't know what to do.
Well, what you told me, though, Wade, is that you don't have any faith. Your faith is in you got to just believe whether or not you hear it or not, okay? That's what faith is. If you hear the tinnitus, you say, no, I don't hear that in Jesus' name because I'm healed. The Lord has healed me. I don't have to put up with this tinnitus. And the fact that you can pick whatever healing you want to without affecting your medicine and stuff, that's not faith. That's double-mindedness right there. But if you want to pick one thing and just go for that, that's fine. But you have to believe. You can't just think that it's going to happen automatically, because God's going to test your faith to see if you're going to believe, or are you going to go ahead and get double-minded and go back to what you was thinking. You know, you can't, you have to just keep your mind on Jesus. Always keep your mind on Jesus and not on what's ailing you, okay? Because if you keep your mind on what's ailing you, that's going to take you out. That's going to just destroy faith. So what we do, we pray for it and we just keep on believing God for it. That don't make any difference how long it takes, okay? That's why the Lord puts us in these trials to work patience in us. And He's doing it. He's working patience in us when He puts us in these trials that He's set up for us. And God is not a liar. He's not a liar. He's going to do whatever He said He's going to do in the Word of God. So what we have to do is just thank Him for our healing. It don't make any difference whether you're healed or not. You just thank Him for it, because that's calling the things that are not as though they were. Remember?
And yeah.
So that's what we do. So if you want to get that, you want to go after the tendonitis, we just go after it. We'll pray about it. We'll pray against it. And now it's up to you to discredit the enemy. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I ain't hearing nothing in my ears. Nope, I can hear good. Praise God. You know, and it don't make any difference what people say to you. You say, no, I can hear good. Praise God, because God has healed me in Jesus' name. So is that what you want us to pray about here?
Yes, that would be good.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. In the name of Jesus, right now, we command the tendonitis in both ears to cease its activity against Wade right now in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for restoring full volume into his ear for hearing. And we command that tendonitis to go, that ringing to stop right now in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, for instilling great and bold faith in Wade for this one thing right here. And Lord, I thank you for it. And I thank you, Lord, that he is going to walk the walk that you've got him on, Lord. And he's going to see victory, because he's going to claim it every day. I am healed in the name of Jesus. And it don't make any difference what anybody says or what your ears hearing. I know I'm healed because the word is more true than what I'm hearing in Jesus' name. That's what we do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, brother. You are healed in Jesus' name. So claim it, walk in it, in the name of Jesus. Okay. Praise God. I believe it, Wade.
I believe it.
All right. I think everybody in here believes it, too. Obadiah believes it. Amen. All right, anyone else? Yeah, go ahead, Matt.
Well, I just put on the chat the 2 Corinthians 1 about casting down the strongholds. You know, bringing every thought into captivity. You know, that's where, you know, a lot of our doubt and unbelief comes from, is where we get attacked in our mind, and we got to keep every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. You know, to, you know, believe and keep believing so doubt and fear will not come in. You know, you get that thought and cast it down right away. Nope. This is not what the Bible says. The Bible says I have been healed 2,000 years ago. So, you know, making every thought captive unto the obedience of Christ. So I just thought I'd mention that.
Amen. Thank you for posting that too. Praise God. That's our job, is just to call those things that are not as though they were. That's every Christian's walk, is to do that. That's faith. Amen. Okay, the thing about it is, if tribulation started tomorrow, you know, you wouldn't be able to run down to the drugstore to get whatever it is we all need or we all think we need. So that faith has got to kick in at some point in time. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, anybody else? Let me pray for Jeanette. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask and I pray, Lord, that you infuse her with supernatural energy in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, that you're weaning her off of that oxygen in the name of Jesus. She don't need that stuff. She's got faith to believe, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, that you're healing her. You're bringing her along a step at a time. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you that she is healed. I thank you, Lord, that she's starting to believe that she's healed too. She gets to do things. Now, some days she has up days, some days she has up down days, Lord. But you said when we're in the valley, praise you. And you said when we're on the mountaintop to praise you. So that's what we've asked her to do. And I praise God that she's probably doing that because she's getting better every day in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Anyone else need a prayer or would like to pray? Or I've got a testimony. Hey, Dave. See you sneak up in here.
Hi, Mike. Hi, everyone.
Hey, brother. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to add to pray about or testimony, praise report? Let me just read you something before we get into Ministry of Angels. I was reading it to Leon earlier. I got this book from the web, from Noah Hutchins, the Great Pyramid, The Prophecy in Stone. And it's an amazing book because just what little bit I've read, I've only read 45 pages. I was reading to him about how if it was Pharaoh that built it and he had all his slaves to do it, just consider this. Just remember that 5,000 years ago, there were no computers, railroads, or self-propelled hydraulic cranes. He said, let us assume that there are slaves to hack out 2,600,000 giant blocks from the quarries. What kind of tools did they use to carve out the stone? There wasn't no dynamite, no explosives in those days. Where'd they get the tools? And after the blocks were quarried, how were they dressed? How were they milled? Some of those stones were fitted with seamless joints. Dressing would require a minimum pressure of 2 tons. Where does a primitive workman get the equipment to apply that pressure? Third, how do you get the stones to the building site at Giza? Fourth, how could a small country like Egypt feed all those slaves? Fifth, where did they get the ropes to pull those blocks? In ancient Egypt, you didn't dash into town to buy a rope. How much rope would you need to handle 2,600,000 stone blocks? And these stones weighed a minimum of 3 tons apiece. Let's assume we need 4 times as many ropes as stones. Some of the ropes could be used again, so we'd need about 2 times as many ropes as stone. That's an incredible 5 million pieces of rope. Good, sturdy rope. Where'd they get it? Six, where did the Pharaoh find an architect who could design a building with such precise measurements? At the completion rate of 10 stones a day, putting them in place, or milling them, it would have taken 250 and 60,000 days to build the pyramid. That's 712 years. Modern builders are pleased when they obtain an accuracy of 0.1 inch on their construction projects. Yet, the pyramid is built with far greater precision despite being honeycombed with tunnels, shafts, and bizarre hidden chambers. Find me a construction company that will guarantee to build a 6.5 million ton building without settling. Can't be done. There are endless mysteries on how the pyramids were constructed. An example is the remarkable King's Chamber deep inside the structure with two rows of 70-ton blocks of rare red granite formed into a unique roof. These stones could only have been taken from quarries that are 600 miles from Giza. 600 miles. The horse and cart were not brought to Egypt until the 17th dynasty. How did they transport these stones over such an enormous distance? Historians say the 70-ton blocks and smaller stones were pushed overland on wooden rollers. Trees were chopped down, dressed out to logs, and used as rollers under the block. It's a good theory, except for the trees. There's no forest in Egypt. There would have been a loss factor of about 10 rollers per stone. So the Great Pyramid would have required 26 million wooden rollers. And the theory of primitive people building the pyramid with their hands simply doesn't stand inspection. I agree. That was supernatural done. I think God helped him with that. I don't know how they did it. I really don't, because they didn't have the tools. There's been scientists and archaeologists that say that we can't build it today to the standard that one was built. I'm talking about the Great Pyramid. We can't build it. We don't have the tools to do it. How'd they build it? And it withstood the flood. It didn't move or settle 0.01 inch. That thing is rocked. It's one great big old rock. And it's an amazing thing. I just thought I'd throw that in there to pique your interest on the Great Pyramid. There's a lot more to that pyramid. I hadn't gotten into it. Maybe as the weeks go by, we'll get to go over some of it. All right. Anybody got anything they'd like to share?
Yeah, I do, actually. Real quick, Michael, how you guys doing?
All right, brother. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You guys are talking about angels, and Tracy brought this up, that we should probably throw this testimony out. We were in South County. We live in North County, but we were in South County looking at different malls and whatnot a couple years back. And it got to raining really, really hard. And I had a Buick Century at the time. And it was raining so hard, you could barely see. Right then, my windshield wiper just decided to break. Just back and forth. So you have to stop, otherwise you're going to scratch your glass, you know. So I had to turn the windshield wiper off. The windshield wiper's off, floor to the side of the road. And it doesn't show any signs of letting up. And before we had the smartphones as to how long it's going to be and whatnot. And so we pull over to the side of the road, and I make my way into this parking lot. And it's a parking lot of a little strip mall. And we're trying to figure out what to do. And the only thing we can do then is just wait out the rain until it lets up. I mean, you'd be surprised how much control a windshield wiper has over you, right? But when you need it, you need it, you know? So it's like tearing a spare tire in your back, which I've learned now to carry spare windshield wipers. But, you know, we're sitting here for a little while, and we start praying about it. That the Lord would help us out. And now, mind you, it's probably about 6:30 at night or so, and we're at the back of a strip mall. And you can see the strip mall's got like a Goodwill, like way on this side, and then it comes around like a little L shape. You know what I'm saying? And we're like right here, and then here's the highway, if you guys can make that out. So we're down here, and we can see the highway, but we can't do anything about it. And out of nowhere, from this far side of this mall comes these two headlights, and they come over toward us, right? They come over toward us, and they pull right up in front like we needed a jump. And a guy gets out of the guy gets out of the car, and he's a Mexican cat. He gets out of the car and he walks up, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? He kind of rolled the window down a little bit, but you're still getting rain like monsoon on you. And I told him, I was like, you know, we don't have a windshield wiper. He goes, okay. You know, did like, just like you knew, okay. You know, and I said, that's why we're sitting here. And he goes, oh, one minute. And so he walks up to my car and he pulls the windshield wiper off my car. Right. And Tracy's sitting in the shotgun. Kane's in the back seat. He's probably like five or so. Pulls the windshield wiper off my car and goes behind his car and opens up his trunk. Now I'm looking at Tracy like, what's going on? So I get out of the car and I walk up to behind him. And as I walk up behind him, he's got a box fan in his trunk, right? A brand new box fan, just a box of random look like just stuff, and a brand new windshield wiper, the same size that I have for my car, right? And he takes it off and walks over, and I'm trying to talk to him, and as I'm trying to talk to him, he acts like he can't speak any English. He just, no, he shakes his head and smiles kind of awkwardly, right? And we walk over to my car, and I try to help him, and he says, no, wouldn't let me help him put this windshield wiper on my car. Wouldn't let me do it. Wouldn't give it to me, right? And then puts it on my car, and I say, well, thank you. God bless you. And he just kind of bows a little bit, smiles, and gets in his car, and thanks it. And it kept us stay on my car for maybe, I don't know, 2 years afterwards, lest you entertain angels unawares, right? And so the Lord sent him there specifically. I'm telling you, he had a brand new box fan in the back of his car, a box of random stuff, and the exact windshield wiper I needed. And so, you know, it's just amazing that the Lord meets your every need in that aspect, right? Amen. Trusting, and you believe that that'll happen, because what do you expect? You know, I believe it's somewhere in Jeremiah, I got to find it, where the Lord has good thoughts about you, but you have to expect these good thoughts, right? And a lot of times, we don't expect these good thoughts to come to fruition. We don't believe that that's going to happen. We're waiting for the miracle to be surprised.
Yeah.
Why? He says he's going to help us, but we don't allow that. We don't expect him. That's faith. Are you enthusiastic when somebody gives you a lottery ticket that's going to win? You have faith more in the lottery than you do of him meeting your needs. Right?
Amen. Because
you're positioned to think that way. So all I'm saying is the next time you need a windshield wiper, pray to God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's a good testimony there.
My oven's calling me. I got to go. God bless you.
Okay. All right. Bless you, brother. All right. Anybody else? I was in a church one time. This was a Assembly of God church right on Highway 40, just right off of Highway 40 there in Lone Oak, Arkansas. And we were having a Monday night meeting of some sort. It was Wednesday night. And we were having a Bible study back there, and this guy comes in, and one of the men had brought him in, said he found him outside walking, you know, and decided to bring him in, let him warm up, you know, and he came in and joined the Bible study. He was real at home, you know, act real personable. And I remember that the guys had said that they were going to take him over to the restaurant, which is right across the interstate. There's a restaurant there, and feed him, and then give him something, you know, try to figure out where he's going so they could help him get to where he was going. And they took him over there, and they fed him. And the guy was telling me, he said, yeah, we took him over there. And as we were leaving, he said, I went up to the cash register to pay the ticket, and I paid the ticket. He said, there's nobody in line, just me. He said, the other guy that was with him walked out and said he went outside after he paid the ticket, and he couldn't find that guy anywhere. The guy had completely disappeared. Now, the front of this restaurant is motel. It's a motel-type looking setting, and you can see for a long ways, you know. He said the guy didn't have enough time to get around to the side of the motel to hide. He said, I don't know. He didn't know where he went. But anyway, we figured that was an angel that was blessed, you know. Praise God. Anybody ever had any experience with those angels? Okay. Ministry
Hello,
of Angels.
Michael.
Hey, Gano. What's up?
I was going to share, and I may have shared this one other time, about... Well, we feel it really was angels, and I really our girls did too. couple of our girls were coming from the West Coast back to Nebraska for their grandma's funeral. And when they got to the, they were kind of running late. And when they got to the airport in L.A., they told them that they weren't there long enough ahead of time. And so they weren't going to let them get on because they said they didn't have time. And so they were going to have to find another flight and all this. And, of course, they were kind of upset because they had two little babies at the time. Each daughter had a baby and then like a four-year-old with them. And they went to another line, and then a lady came up to them, and she said, "Follow me." And she took them right to where they were originally supposed to go, got them through the line with no difficulty at all. And when they got there and they were, before they went, were going on to the plane, they wanted to thank her, and she was nowhere in sight. And they said they really believed that she was an angel because she bypassed all of the lines and just took them right up front and just got them in. And I just, you know, it was an awesome thing for them because, and to me, because they realized that that was an angel. It wasn't just a happening. Anyway, that was what I wanted to share.
Amen. Praise God for angels in airports. Thank you,
that's
Lord.
That's right. Yep.
All right. Okay, Tracy, what you got, girl?
Hey, brother. God bless you. God bless you.
You too.
This one's not so glorious, but, you know, it's kind of short. Our son, I think he was about seven or eight maybe, but he's got a double bunk bed, and he slept on the top bunk bed. And he's always been a little bit kind of weary about it because we went and bought like the nicest, biggest mattress. So there wasn't a lot of guard rail there, you know, because it was up so high. Well, anyways, there was one night that he acted a little bit scared of, you know, going to bed, and he kept wanting to sleep with me, you know, and we'd let him sleep in there every once in a while for a treat, but not every night. You know, we didn't want him to get in that habit. And he kept kind of beating around the bush. I said, "Kane, what's wrong, honey?" I said, what's going on? Is something wrong?" And he looks at me and he goes, "Yeah, I rolled off on my bed last night." And I looked at him, I said, "You what?" You know, because, I mean, it's high. It's real high. It's right next to the ceiling. And I said, "What do you mean?" And he goes, "I rolled off on my bed, but it's okay because an angel caught me and put me back." And he was so serious. I'm like, okay. And I just thought that was really cool, you know. Praise God. So, you know, praise the Lord.
Amen. All right. Praise God. All right, anybody else? I'm going to put these snacks up. I tell you what, on another occasion that my wife, she, believe it or not, she sees in the spirit realm a lot, more so than me. And when we first got saved, we were in a Baptist church, and there was a young lady that got up and sang a beautiful song. I mean, she had a real, real fine voice. And Jeanette punched me. She said, "You see that?" While this girl was singing, I said, "What am I looking for?" She said, "That angel standing. That's a big angel standing right behind that girl singing." I said, "Get out of here." She said, "Yeah, no, really, I see a big old angel." I said, "Well, praise God, you know." And I couldn't see it. She could. And I believe it was there. Anyway, after she got through singing, we had a little break here. I saw that girl in the back, and I told her, I said, "You know, my wife says she saw a big old angel behind you while you were singing that song." And it just blessed her socks off, you know, that angel was there. People can see in the spiritual realm quite a lot. Quite a lot. Okay. Anybody can tell me about the work and the ministry of angels? Well, we can go over a few things. I came across one study on it, that they can be placed in three categories. And one is they're God's agents, they're his messengers, and his servants. three things, God's agents. As agents of God, angels act as executors of God's judgment. When God decreed judgment on humanity, often he would send angels to carry out the judgment. And they quote Genesis chapter 3 and verse 24. After he drove them out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. Angels judged the city of Jerusalem for their idolatry in Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. And they also went to Sodom to pronounce judgment upon that evil city. Y'all remember when the angels went in there and got Lot and his family? Had a terrible time getting them out of there. Yeah, go ahead, Leon.
Well, I think cherubim and seraphim are different than angels, because you see cherubim as cherubim as carrying the throne room of God around in Ezekiel, and you also see them in the throne room of God in Revelation. But their angels, whenever they're on this earth, are in the form of man. They're always related to as man. Remember when the three came to Abraham, they were in a human form. And the two that went to Sodom were also in the human form. That's the people of Sodom came and said, send out those men that came to you. So I think the cherubim and the seraphim are different in their capacity than what angels are.
We agree with you, Michael, if you're saying anything.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There you go.
Okay. Well, I have to question.
Thanks, Dave.
I have to question, Leon. If there's, are you saying that the cherubim and the seraphim are not angels? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm just saying they're different than normally what you see.
Oh, there's all kinds of different angels. Yeah, yeah. I agree with you there. There's all kinds.
Not saying that they're not.
Okay.
But they have multiple wings. They have multiple wings and multiple faces.
Mm-hmm.
And just the regular angels, the ones that minister to you and I, usually are seen in the human form. So yep. they wouldn't have wings at all. They have a single face, a man's face, and so forth.
Well, that can manifest any way that God wants them to, can't they? Or could they not?
Well, I suppose they could, but they don't. Or we don't have any evidence that they do.
Okay.
Well, and I can just go by the scriptures as far as what the evidence is.
Well, the if you're referring to the one in Ezekiel where he's talking about the chariot and all of that, is that the one you're
right.
referring to?
Yeah.
Well, that's mm-hmm. a spiritual meaning of Jesus, right? That's the way David always taught that the Ezekiel's wheel was the attributes of Jesus.
Okay.
And that's what I always kind of figured out too. After listening to him, it made sense to me because he had the face of a man and the face of a bull and what's the other two?
Eagle.
Yeah, eagle and a lion. And those were the attributes of Jesus. Now, we could get into that some other time, but he has a good study on that. Anyway, getting back to these regular old angels, talking about Sodom and Gomorrah, when those two angels came to Sodom, and Lot was sitting in the gateway, this is Genesis 19 and 1, gateway of Sodom, when Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed down with his face to the ground. So that was the judgment of Sodom. And they also, they act with authority, don't they? When the angels were sent to do the will of God, they acted with authority. At the tomb of Jesus, two angels broke the Roman seal and rolled back the massive stone, and that caused the entire guard unit to faint. Matthew 28, 2 and 4. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven, came, and rolled back the stone and sat on it. For fear of him, the guards shook. Oh, they got a right to be shaken, and became like dead men. Well, praise God. You remember, they also acted, the angel acted, who was it, Gabriel? It came to Zechariah. Remember what he told him? He said, man, I come right straight from the throne of God, and you're going to sit there and doubt me? You ain't going to speak until this baby's born. Right. You know, he acted with authority. And they're also God's messenger. I don't remember where I got this. I got it online somewhere. God's messenger. Angels bring God's message to humanity. And this is in keeping with the meaning of the term angel. God has used angels to send the following messages to humanity. Divine revelation has been given by angels. The martyr Stephen said in Acts 7 and 53, you are the ones that have received the law as ordained by angels, but you have not obeyed it. Paul wrote to the Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 19, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions until the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator. Amen. You know, we're talking about angels with wings and without wings. Let me mute you, Leon. Anyway, we were up on a hilltop overlooking a town in Arkansas, and I can't remember the name of it. But this guy had a double-wide trailer sitting right on a mountain that, I mean, it went almost straight down to the town. And I've told this before on the conference call. I'm going to tell it again because we're talking about angels. And we were praying, and they were praising God. And I looked outside. This guy had a huge deck out back of his house. And I looked outside, and I saw angels out there in the backyard. And in his backyard, now this is in the Ozarks, and there's great big old rocks out there, big old limestone rocks sitting in his yard. I'm talking big stuff. And I saw out there angels, some with wings and some without wings. The Lord just opened up my spiritual eyes to see them. And I walked out on the deck and I saw them, you know. They were just milling about all over the place out there, sitting on rocks, and they were walking around. But out straight out in front of me on a cloud out there, looking, this was out in the air, out there, were warrior angels that had horses out there. They hadn't mounted up yet, but they were fixing to mount up. And they had Roman soldier-looking uniforms on, you know, the leather things that they wore. And they didn't have any wings either, but they were warrior angels, and they had swords, and, you know, I mean, it was just astounding. I saw that vision there twice. I saw it years later with the warriors had already mounted up, which was telling me that we're getting closer and closer to this tribulation. That was a few years ago, and I was here in Tennessee when I saw that. So, you know, that was the warrior angels. So, yeah, you're right. There's angels out there with wings, without wings. I don't know the difference, you know. I don't know. They all can go wherever they want to, wherever God sends them, and he wants to send them. And they're awesome entities. They're powerful entities. You know, when I heard David talking about this one time, teaching on it, and I don't remember what study it was, but it was one that he said that, you know, when it, in the scriptures, it says that, that he saw Jesus and that Jesus told him this or told him that. He thinks that it might have been that that Jesus told them something, and they were relaying a message from Jesus to these people, that the messengers were actually angels, that Jesus was still up in heaven. So I don't know, you know, I don't know how all that works, but, you know, anyway, it's supernatural stuff. It's supernatural stuff. When these angels come from the throne room of God, you better believe they got, one little old angel destroyed 185,000, didn't he? Of, what's his name? Old Sacharib? And what his name is, anyway. Sennacherib. I call him Snackerib. But anyway, 185,000 of those, just one angel. So you know they got some power, don't you? They got some power, praise God. And in the book of Revelation, in the introduction, it tells us that this final book of scripture was given through an angel to John. The revelation of Jesus Christ, Revelation 1:1. Revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angels to his servant John. Amen. So they give us messages too, don't they? Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, in actually in the end of Revelation 2, there's Revelation 22 and 16. And Jesus, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to witness to you these things over the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And of course, then it goes on to saying, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And who heareth, let him say, come. Who is thirsteth, let him come. Who willeth, let him take water of life freely. So the angel is there too. I guess it's the same one at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, it could be. Could be. That it's and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And he that heareth, let him say, come. And he that is athirst, let him come. He that will, let him take the water of life. What's the water of life? Word of God, isn't it?
Amen. I was under the impression that we were going to do a study on ministry of angels. And that's what you said. And I just started looking up some verses in the Bible, and there was just one particular verse that I'd like to.
Sure.
Because I always thought that the messengers were both heavenly and earthly. Okay. And so there could be people who give a message too, you know. And I went to Zechariah 12 and 8, and it's a really interesting verse. I believe David Eales referenced it once, and in this King James Version it says there, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them at that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. So, you know, the only reason why I say that this must have been a study by David Eales is because he also gave me a reference of Exodus 4:16 after that. So I just wrote it down, and then I went to 4:16, and it's a real interesting verse there too. And it's got to it's to be related to that one. And it says there, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, that, and thou shalt be to him as God. And of course, it's referring to a message being related there. And he did correct as the last part as being as God. So that's Exodus 4:16.
Amen. That's talking about Aaron, wasn't it?
Yeah.
As a messenger of God.
Mm-hmm. So it was just an interesting message there, especially that Zechariah 12:8 because I believe it's talking about the man child in that one.
Mm-hmm. I believe so too.
And it's talking about in Acts 5:19, as the prison's doors opened, that they were to go out and speak all the words of this life that the apostle had when they were in prison there. And then they were to go to the temple and speak those words there in 5:19.
Amen.
Yeah. And of course, the one in 22:16-17 also mentions that word of life. When you ask, what is that life? So, in Revelation 22:16-17. So.
Mm-hmm. Revelation 22:16, okay.
Yeah, and in Acts 5:19, it says, speak all the words of his life when they were to go to the temple and speak to the people after they were miraculously led out of the prison.
Mm-hmm.
And the soldiers were looking for them in there, and then they said, oh, someone said he's in the temple preaching. And anyways, it's an earthly messenger.
Yeah, I believe that with you. I'm glad you brought that out, because that had escaped me at the time. Yeah, the ministry of angels is also, that word angels is messengers of God. That's what that means. And it can be humans or angels.
One other point I'd like to bring up also, sure, is the last verse in the book of John. You know, and there it says that, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So shouldn't God's people be praying for a good journal of for them to have something written in there? For this vessel and for your vessel, because that's going to be in an internal message forever on what you do for the Lord and what,
amen,
what the Lord is actually doing through you. You know, this is in a pray for your vessel to have writings for this new life that you've received in that last verse.
Amen.
It'll be an eternal message that anyone can read in heaven.
Amen.
Okay.
There used to be, I'm trying to think of the guy's name, that kept a log of all his prayers. Mueller? Robert Mueller?
The praying was it guy. Edward?
Edward who?
Yeah. I'm not good.
So all that would be written in his book of life.
Yeah. 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 I was just talking about a physical book that he had kept a log of all his prayers and all the ones that the Lord had answered, and he'd answered every one of them. Every one of his prayers, and it was, you know, and that's what you're talking about is a spiritual book. It's going to be in heaven when we get up there. It's going to be logs of things that we've done for the Lord, and I believe that. It's going to be a bunch of stuff to go over, ain't it? Praise God. Sure.
Well, sure. There's going to be a lot of reading in heaven then, eh?
Amen. Well, you know, remember when Tom Kruger came on here and he talked about going up to heaven and meeting Paul, and that Paul was a studious kind of a guy, and he was always teaching people, you know. So there's going to be teaching going on up there at all times, you know. So I believe that. I believe there's going to be a lot of work up there, a lot of stuff, a lot of glorious things going on in heaven. One of them's going to be studying the history of people's lives that had great lives in Jesus. That's going to be awesome. Amen. All right, anybody else?
George Mueller.
Yeah, George Mueller. Yeah, that's the guy.
I was looking him up because I actually had an incident when I was in a church, a full gospel church kind of thing, a Calvary Chapel, but I was still struggling with a lot of things internally, you know, rejection and just battling a lot of things. And all of a sudden this guy showed up, older guy, and I was kind of standing around the library area they had there a little bit, and he starts talking real calmly to me and just conversing. First time I've ever seen this guy there. We have a small congregation kind of like this. And out of nowhere, he just shows up, nice dress, older guy. And he starts talking about, and looks at George Mueller and says, oh yeah, he's got some really good stuff. And he started talking about George Mueller a lot and, you know, different things about answers to prayer and just kind of trying to build up faith in me. And he just seemed like such an interesting guy. You know, he just kind of lifted my spirits being around me. And then he only showed up one other time after that, and I never seen him again. But it was like, I always kind of wondered if he was an angel. He just kind of appeared out of nowhere, and then he was gone, you know.
Well, it could have been. Could have been. Amen. Yo, George Mueller was kind of he never let anybody know what his needs was. He never let anybody know. And he just prayed for him and believed for him. He'd pray for him and he'd forget about it because he knew that God was going to answer. And he built orphanages, buildings for orphanages. And I don't remember how many he built, but there was a bunch of them right in the same place. And this was way back when, and there's still some of them still standing today. And he built them all on faith. God would just send the money. He said, all right, Lord, I'm going to start building this building. I need the money now. You know I need the money. So I'm just going to believe you're going to do it. We're going to go ahead and get started. And sure enough, man, he gets started. He start digging the foundation for it, and money will show up.
George Mueller answered a prayer.
Yep, that's it.
He told a story in one of his books where they had, like, I don't know, 150 kids there and the adults and stuff in the morning, and they were getting ready to eat breakfast, but they had no food, nothing. So he said he gathered them all there, and they sat them all down, and he started to pray, thank the Lord for the meal they were going to receive, and they had nothing there. And just before he even got in and started a prayer, here's a knock at the door, and he opens the door, and then there's this bread guy in a bed truck. And there, well, apparently his truck broke down or something, and he had all this bread he had to, you know, get rid of. And he says by the time the other truck got help there, the bread pretty much would be kind of getting kind of cold and it'd be kind of worthless for where he was driving it to. He says, hey, do you guys need some bread? And he says, sure. And he took and brought all this bread in, and then all they had bread. As soon as he gets done closing the door and George starts praying again and hears a knock at the door, he goes to the door and there's this dairy driver, and dairy driver, same thing, his truck breaks down. He says, I got all this milk. And he says, they can't let it go to waste, otherwise it's just going to sit there because he can't keep it cold sitting there all day. He says, do you guys need any milk? He says, yeah, we'll take your milk. And they brought all this milk in, so they had milk and bread for all the kids to eat that morning. Can't hear you, Mike.
Okay, thank you. I had a friend of mine that very good friend of mine, still is, that I talk to, you know, every now and then. He's from Memphis, and he had a homeless shelter where he would put up homeless men, and he went by faith. He always went by faith, too, just like Mueller. And the cook came in and said, Jim said, we're out of food. We don't have anything to feed everybody, you know, and we don't have any money. I'm out of money, too. And he said, well, let's pray. And said they all sat down at the table, and they all prayed and said it wasn't too much longer after that this drug dealer come running in to the room there and threw $600 on the table. He said, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I have to do it, and then run back out the door. So that was a prime example of God using a drug dealer to throw $600 at them, you know, for food. And so they ate that day. So praise God. I heard another story. This lady was in an SUV, and it was raining, and she lost control of that thing and hit this guy in his car, and both of them rolled over and over and over, and they were pinned in their car. The cars were upside down. The woman's car burst into flames, and this other man and this woman, this man and his wife, was right behind them, and they saw it all happen, and they jumped out and went over there, and the windows were, you know, just about that high. They couldn't get anybody out. And he reached in, said the lady said the fires were burning under the firewall in the inside the car, and it burning her feet, and she couldn't get the safety belt loose. So he reached in with his knife, gave her the knife. She cut the safety belt. He grabbed her arms and tried to pull her out. He said, there ain't no way she could have gotten out that little bitty hole in the window. And he said, God, we need some help. And his wife is back there praying all the time, Lord, we need some help. These people are going to die if you don't help. And he said he reached in there and grabbed that lady's arms and said there was an angel that put his arms over his onto the woman's arms, right over his arms, and yanked that woman out and said she popped out like a piece of popcorn. Said just pop, she was out of there. And the other guy, he was bound up in his car, and that car was getting on fire too. He couldn't get out of there. There was this much room for him to get out. And they just prayed. They said, Lord, you've got to do something. This man is going to die if you don't do something. And next thing I knew, he was out on the grass next to the car. God had pulled him out of there. You know, those angels pulled him out. And that's what God has these angels for, is to help us out. I thought that was very, very telling when we cry out to God in those instances. I had another friend of mine, the guy that brought me to Jesus. Bill Morris. Bill got his arm chopped off in an industrial accident. But when he was about 16 or 17 years old, he had a Camaro. And it was a fast little car. And, you know, when you're about 16, 17 years old, you think you're Superman, you know, sometime. And he was going to beat this train. He was going to beat a train. How many of you know you can't beat a train? You can't, Yeah, that's it. You know, don't be doing stupid stuff. But anyway, he thought he had a fast car. He was just going to get right in front of that train, you know, and get on the cross there. He said that engine hit him head on, or hit him broadside, and said it just demolished the car. He didn't have a scratch on him. Because when he saw that the train was going to hit him, he said, "Help me, God. Help me, God." And God helped him. That train demolished. They said it wadded that car up. You could have put it in the back of a pickup. He said, and his dad said, "How in the world did you get out of that thing without getting hurt?" He said, "I felt this hand lift me out of there and get me shielded me from all of whatever was going on inside that car." And he was outside the car after the wreck, and that's all he knows, you know. So God helped him there. That was another instance of God's miraculous supernatural deliverance. Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I had a woman tell me a similar story. She said they were in an accident. There was her two daughters, her husband and her wife, and somehow I'm not sure how the accident happened or the details specifically, but she was telling me when their car got hit, the whole back seat area where the kids were at was just crushed and demolished in. And the minute after the accident, she quick looked back because she is hurt in her back, but she looked in the back seat and the kids weren't there, and they knocked on the passenger window and they're both standing outside the car looking at their mom. And of course, finally, her mom gets out and says, "How'd you kids get out of the car? Because the whole back seat's it's wrecked. If the kids would have been there, they would have been killed." They said, "Well, the angels took us out."
Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for angels. I heard another story of a van. Yeah, go ahead, Leon.
I don't have a story, but I did want to tell you that Hebrews 1:13 and 14. Hebrews 1:13 and 14 says, "But which of the angels hath he said at any time, sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet? Are they," and speaking about the angels, "are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation?" So God sends his angels to take care of us, those of us who are his children, his sons, and those that are destined to be his children and his sons.
Amen. Amen. I believe in the ministry of guardian angels for his people. I believe we all have guardian angels. Some have more than others. I don't know. You know, it just depended on what your need is.
But some people who have nothing to do with salvation claim guardian angels too. That's not what it says.
Yeah.
Tom Kruger, when he was here, he said that one angel, he had two of them. One was like about 15 feet high and had like a 10-foot sword on his side. And he was like, a warrior angel of some type. And he also had another one that was about his size that was actually talking to him the whole time. And he referred to himself as a ministering angel or minister in some sense. He says, "Yes, are you got a guardian?" He says, "Well, we don't like that term. We like minister." They were ministering spirits or something.
Yeah, yeah, that was an interesting interview we had with Kruger. It's on the site, still on the site, I believe. Those angels, you know, the Lord shows me through my past 20 years. He's shown me a number of angels. One time we were in a a warehouse kind of a deal. It was a small, you know, those Quonset hut looking things. That's what he had. We call them hurricane buildings over back home. And he had that thing full of food and stuff, you know, and we were all praying. I forget what we were even praying for. Praying for the, this guy had a ministry of a storehouse for churches and people who had what do you call those things where they put food out all the time. What do you call those? Good gracious.
The pantry?
Yeah, food pantry. That had food pantries. He was the warehouse for them, and he'd get a lot of food here and there. You know, we were giving him, at the time, we were giving him tons of rice, just tons and tons of rice, and they'd sack it up and send it all over the world. I worked at a rice mill, Riviana Rice Foods, and they would give him, you know, he'd come down there and we'd give him probably anywhere from 2 to 4 tons of rice at a time. And he'd, you know, send it wherever he needed it made sense, you know. He had connections all over the world. Anyway, we were in his warehouse one day and we were praying. There was probably 6 or 8 of us that were praying. We were praying in the spirit. And I had my eyes shut, but I could see up over the warehouse, they was like, who was said they saw a 15-foot angel? This angel was at least 15 foot tall up on top of that thing. And man, he was just standing there, you know, just like he knew what he was doing. And of course he did. And, the Lord opened my eyes to see it. And it was a huge angel, one of the biggest ones I've ever seen. 15, 20 feet high. That's a big angel. Anyway, that's what I saw. And I believe that angel was there to guard the food, I guess. Okay. The angels also make announcements, don't they? Angels make announcements. Angels announce the birth of Christ and John the Baptist, Matthew 1 and 20 and 21. It says, but after he, Joseph, had thought about these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for the child which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he himself that shall save his people from their sins. And then in Luke 1:11-13, then the angel of the Lord appeared there with him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overcame him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Fear overcame him. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. Amen. That was a message to him, wasn't it? Angels gave warnings to God's people. Also, Matthew 2:13. Now, after they had left, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother, and escape to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Now, how did he receive that? He received it in a dream. That angel gave him a dream. And that's why dreams are important. We believe in dreams. We believe that God speaks to us in dreams. And if you'll go through the New Testament, even in the Gospels, you'll see that dreams are all throughout it. Also in the Old Testament, people were guided by dreams. God used angels to provide instruction. The Gentile Cornelius received angelic instruction. He was commanded to send servants to Joppa to find Simon Peter. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 3. One day at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw it. There's a vision. Visions are of God. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, Cornelius. So, praise God. They give us instructions. God's servants. They are God's servants. Angels have also been used as God's servants. They have ministered to believers in the following ways. Angels are interested in the spiritual welfare of people to the point that they rejoice at their conversion. Jesus said this in Luke chapter 15 and 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Yeah, when y'all repented and came to Jesus and started believing the Word of God, there was joy in the presence of the angels of God. Amen. Angels have been used to give physical provisions. Remember, what's the guy's name that was a prayer warrior? Bevington? G.W. Bevington, I believe is his name. It's on the website. He was the guy that always crawled up in a log and pray until God gave him the victory, you know. And he crawled up in the log one time in three or four days. I don't remember how many days it was. And stayed up in that log for that long. And the Lord provided him food through a squirrel. That squirrel would drop acorns down in there, and he'd eat them acorns. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've eaten an acorn before, and them things don't, they're nasty. So you got to be hungry, boy, to eat one of them things. But the Lord provided. He can sweeten that thing up and make it taste like biscuits and gravy if he wants to. Amen. All right.
Malcolm on? We're not teasing him, are we?
Malcolm? Yeah, Tracy, I didn't see you. Did you have your hand up again, or did I just not lower it?
Oh, man, my hand's so tired. It's been up for a while.
I'm sorry.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, Michael, did you give Henry Gruber's testimony about the angels? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Which one? He's got so many.
When the Lord took him, when he actually died. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. No, I haven't shared that. Actually, it's been a long time since I've read that or listened to that.
Yeah. Well, in a nutshell, I'll try to share it then.
Yeah,
in a nutshell, it's really long. It's Henry Gruber, awesome brother. If you guys don't know who he is, Google him. He's amazing.
He's a prayer walker.
Oh, yeah, the prayer walker. There you go. Well, he was on a road trip. His oldest daughter was getting married, and this guy's got, like, a lot of kids. I don't even remember if he's got, like, 12 kids, something like that. But his oldest daughter was getting married, and all of his family and all their wedding stuff, they loaded in one van, and they were driving. And he had been driving, and then his wife, you know, he'd been driving for most of the time, and then finally his wife said, let me drive. So he said, okay. So, you know, she was driving, and she was listening to a Christian artist, and one of the children had dropped something. You know, or whatnot. So anyway, she's fumbling around, and as she's fumbling around, Henry is sleeping in the seat next to her, and she's veering off the road trying to get whatever it was that fell. Maybe it was a toy or something under her gas pedal. I don't know. But she went off the road, and the van had flipped over and over and over many times and threw Henry out of the car, and basically his whole family was okay. And so with all those kids and all those people, the wife was attending to the kids, trying to make sure, you know, is everybody okay? Everybody okay? Well, Henry was like almost dead, you know, laying out. And one of his kids found him. And we might, I hope we don't black out here. But basically the angels held his whole family in, and he went out of the van and died.
Hi, Tracy. Tracy, your audio is messing up. It just started messing up. For some reason.
Give 1 second. Will I crack on the room?
Yeah, it's messing up. It sounds like it's distorting. It's probably bandwidth or something. Yeah, that's a good story. I'm go ahead and see if you can give it.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that sounds good.
I forgot it was going to do that because we were driving.
Yeah.
What was the last thing you heard, Michael?
Well, the last thing I heard was all the kids and her was okay, but Henry was almost dead. And if I remember correctly, something went through his head, didn't it?
Yeah, something went through his head. And, I mean, he was just dead, like bleeding out, dead, really dead. And the point of the story is the angels and bystanders had given their testimony to police and firemen saying that van rolled and ran, every kid held in the spot. They didn't even have seatbelts on.
Yeah, that part went downhill.
I thought he died. And yep. The emergency crew is there, and they were looking him over, and his wife at the same time was praying and commanding Henry to come back to life. She says, "You're not going to die on me, Henry." She was commanding his life to come back, and all the other emergency crew was just standing around, giving her the look like this ain't happening, you know, because they didn't have faith for that. What they'd seen with Henry and the way he was, something protruding out of his head, it's like there was no way he was going to live through this. But she was commanding him to come back to life, and she was pleading to God, and then she was telling Henry, "You can't die. You're coming back to life, commanding him in the name of Jesus to come back." And at the time Henry died, he went up to heaven, and he got a trip around heaven. He got to see some flowers. I can't sure exactly say the whole story, how he kind of told it. But then God gave him a trip around the universe a little bit for some reason, because he had kind of wondered about things, and God was showing him, Jesus was showing him that, because he had a question when in his youth about how things were created or something about that, I'm not sure. And after he took him around a trip around the universe, a few things, and he had seen a little bit of heaven, and I'm not sure what else has he seen or talked about, but he did talk about some flowers and talk about some fish. He talked picking up a fish out of a stream there, and it was real docile and just happy, and the grass was singing and flowers were singing. You hear music and swaying to the music. And he came back to life. His wife was standing over him, you know, commanding him to come back to life, and he came back, and the whole emergency crew was just like taken back, like they thought this guy was dead, and here he is, he came right back to life. So
amen, Dave.
I don't know, does that sound right, Tracy? There's something I
yeah, it does. I'm sorry, we were on the road. We're home now, but the whole point, guys, was I don't know whether you heard this or not. I said it like 3 times. We kept cutting out, but the whole point was the angels. When she veered off the road and they rolled, that van rolled at least, I don't know what he said, at least 4 times. The kids, it was a road trip. The kids were in the van, no seatbelts, and they were there were people on the road that witnessed this, that actually gave the police and the firemen their testimony saying that the kids never moved. Something held those kids. I mean, not even their hair flew up or anything as this van rolled. The only one that was impacted was Henry. Even the wife was driving, you know? So there was angels that held, the whole family in the van. Only reason why Henry was affected is because the Lord wanted to take him to heaven, you know. So yeah, that's spot on. Praise God.
Amen. That's an awesome testimony. Awesome testimony of God's angels taking care of folks. That's the van I was thinking about right there. That's the one where Henry's kids was suspended inside that thing.
Yeah, I wonder. That's why I said, did you already tell it? When you said van, I thought, man, I'm thinking of Henry's testimony, you know?
Yeah, that's, yeah, cool. That's it. That's the one. Yeah, that's an amazing guy. He's had a lot of experiences in the supernatural. They call him the walking prophet or something like that. I don't remember.
Prayer walker.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. I've never met him. I've listened to a lot of his stories, and they always interest me because he's always giving the glory to God. All right.
That's right.
Amen. Anybody else? Yeah. Anybody got something they'd like to share about angels? They give direction too, didn't they? Don't they? Bible says that Philip was directed to the Ethiopian eunuch by an angel. Then the angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." That's in Acts 8:26. He told us, "Get up, Philip, go on down there and talk to that guy. Preach to him the gospel. Show him the gospel. Then baptize him. Then baptize him in the Holy Spirit and send him on his way." Praise God. Essentially, this is what he told him. That's how angels of the Lord told him that.
I see where when Zechariah was being talked to by that angel, he also, the rest of the story, looks like he was informing him what John was going to be like in his ministry. You know, he was telling him the future, what his son's going to be all about. And he's going to make, he will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord, their God, and he will go before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah and turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the understanding of the righteous and to make ready and prepare the people for the Lord. So they also are telling, they tell prophecy too. They can tell what's going to happen in the future with somebody.
Amen. Well, they can also take care of you too, can't they? Remember, was it Elijah or Elisha? I believe it was Elisha that was out there, and the crows brought him some food. Angel of the Lord. Physical protection. Remember when the angel of the Lord found Hagar out there in the desert, didn't he? That's another place. Two angels that visited Lot protected both him and themselves by causing blindness to the men of Sodom. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the door of the house, young and old, so that they were unable to find the door. Genesis 19:11. Numbers 20:16. When we cried to the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and brought us out of Egypt. Here we are in Kadesh, a town on the edge of your territory. Then the Lord used an angel to deliver Peter and John from the hands of the Sadducees. Then the high priest, this is in Acts 5:17-19. Then the high priest and all his associates, the members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles, put them in jail. But during the night, the angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out. You know, what was interesting about that whole thing is the Sadducees, they didn't never believe in angels. And that's exactly what happened to them. The angels came and let them out.
I kind of wonder if we don't see this angelic realm that much only bits and pieces of people do see it. Because then you see the book of Revelation where John was speaking to the one angel twice. He wanted to sit down or get on knees and kind of praise this guy or give some kind of adoration to it. And he told John twice, no, wait, I'm your brother. Don't do that. So I think the inspiration we get from these guys is just probably, you know, overwhelming. So just because that's a spiritual realm that we're not in yet. So just kind of wonder if that's why we don't see a lot of it, just because we'd be have a tendency to probably to take it the wrong direction maybe and get our focus on that, not on the Lord, you know.
Well, it could be. It could be. I don't know. I do remember when we went down to Florida and we met with Tom Kruger and his wife at that time. He told us of a couple of instances where he, you know, if you remember, Dave, he said, I could get in the spirit realm in about 2 hours, you know, praising God and praying, and he could get into that spirit realm and God would take him places in the spirit realm. And he told us of a time that when God he'd gotten into the spirit realm, God took him over to the Middle East to this Christian town. And people were praying in that Christian town, and they saw ISIS come up to that town. But they couldn't do anything to that town because the angels were protecting that town. They couldn't penetrate into that town. They couldn't go into the town, as a matter of fact. And he said he saw that in saw the angels doing that, fighting back the enemy. You know, that was another.
Did he say he was brought in and helped pray for that too? Was he being warfare with that?
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, they were praying for that, against that, you know. And I'll tell you something else. The Lord wants us to use these ministering angels. He tells us to send these angels to do things. Send his angels to do this, drain the swamp or whatever, you know. And that's what we've been doing. And I'll tell you what, when it's powerful prayers. Those are powerful prayers because, you know, what showed me that we have authority even in international affairs or even in national affairs, which I thought, you know, man, this is just amazing to me. And then we started praying for Trump over a year ago. The Lord told us to start praying for him. And we started praying for him. And y'all remember what that graph looked like, don't you? God's angels did that. God did that. You know, here's Trump down here at the bottom, and here's Hillary at the top on that graph. And then you could see it going just like that, and it just switched. It went similar to this right here. Hillary and then Trump. And it was going right along like that. Trump was way down here, and then all of a sudden, it did this number. It did it within just a little bit. Can y'all see that? That's the way it went, just like that right there, like a time glass. When we knew that we were praying, I had no idea we had that kind of an effect on politics or national things like that. And once I saw that, I said, this is something. And so now we don't even think about it. We see something happening and we go to praying for it because God's got them angels out there for a reason. He showed me. Y'all remember me telling y'all about that happened 6 years ago, 5 years ago in Sweetwater when I was living in Sweetwater. And we'd have on the back porch in that old house, there was a back porch that was glassed in. And you could see the backyard out through of it. And we'd go in there in the mornings and we'd pray. David would come over and we'd pray. And one morning, or sometime during the morning, the Lord showed me angels in the house just milling around, not doing nothing. And I said, what's going on, Lord? He said, and the next day he showed me. or the next few days, I forget which, how long, it wasn't too long after that he showed me this, but we were out there praying one morning. We were praying in the spirit. All of us were praying in the spirit. He showed me them angels again, but they were flying around about, there was a, I believe it was a peach tree out there. You know how they don't get very high, and they were flying just above that. And then all of a sudden, when we started praying in the spirit, those angels sat down, walked up to the back porch and to the glasses, and they were looking in. I'm telling you, there was a horde of them out there. And next thing you know, you see one fly off, another fly off, and then 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 another fly off. And the Lord spoke to him, and he said, that's what happens when you pray. You send, you, he showed me the couple of days before that the angels just milling about. He said they don't have a time clock punched. There ain't nobody praying. They don't have a time clock punched. I said, okay, Lord, I understand that. And so then we started praying, and then he showed me that, and all them angels started going to work. Next thing I knew, that yard was empty. All them angels had gone out and done what God had wanted them to do through us. Now, I don't have a clue what we were praying for, because we were praying in the spirit. God wants us to do that. And he was just showing you, when you don't pray, they're punched in, but they can't work because you haven't given them any work. We haven't given them any work. And so that's why it's imperative that we pray. That's our life. That's, God does all his miracles through his people. That's where he does it. Anyway, I just thought I'd, that's what God showed me since I've been here in Tennessee. We have to pray, and we give them angels a little work to do. They'll work overtime, too. They don't mind. They don't care what they got to do, either. I mean, if it's just to go out there and drag some poor fool into the kingdom rather than go up there and talk to the president, it doesn't make them any difference. They're just pleasing God. That's all they want to do. They want to please God. And it makes no difference what their job is. They just go ahead on and do it. And that's where he wants to bring us. And I pray God gets me to that point pretty quick. Because we need to be prayer warriors for, that's what puts the whole spiritual realm to working, is our prayers and our faith. Them angels, man, I'm telling you what, they just started coming up to us right then. They was looking, man. They was looking. Okay, boy, then one take off, then another, then another, then another, then another. Next thing I knew, that yard was empty. They were working for God. They were working for us, actually, through our prayers. How many angels you figure we got around us right now? I don't know, but ever how would it look? Let's put them to work. Glory to God.
One time when you were talking a couple weeks ago, I seen a couple pair of hands come in behind you and then disappear.
A couple of hands? What did they look like?
Well, I'm not sure. I looked at it and I didn't say anything. I thought, that's strange. They were actually green, so I don't know if it was demonic or was there angels.
Oh, come on now.
I wasn't trying to hit you, but... You know, because you know how you can be under attack, but I didn't think you were under attack. And you were talking away, and all of a sudden I see a pair of hands come out. And they're on both sides of you. And they just stood there for a little bit, and then they disappeared. And I thought, that was strange. But I didn't say anything.
You may like somebody was standing behind me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the hands appeared. They came in behind you.
Yeah.
And they were on both sides of your shoulders, about maybe a foot apart from both your shoulders, and then they just disappeared again.
Yeah.
And I just thought, to myself, I thought, I wonder if anybody else saw that. I did.
Yeah, well, awesome. Praise God. Yeah, I believe it was angels. I remember, you know, the last couple of weeks has been very anointed in these fellowships. That's just God. Just like the other night, Leon, you remember when we was at the... At the meeting, I don't remember when it was now. Was that Monday night a week ago when we all started praying in the spirit and then God started moving? Anyway, that's basically the same thing happened then. You know, the anointing failed, and boy, when the anointing falls, man, people need to get prayed for then. Praise God. Okay. All right, the ministry of angels. This has been exciting. I love to hear about God's what God does with people and angels. You know what motivates this is again from this study on ministry of angels. What motivates the angels in their ministry to humans is not their own love for them, but rather their love and devotion to God. That's what they live. The work of angels can be placed in three categories. They are God's agents who execute His judgment. Number two, their angels are God's messengers revealing His will. And they number three, they're God's servants doing His will. And they have also appeared at crucial times in the overall program of God to do the Lord's bidding. Consequently, their work has been of the utmost importance in God's overall plan for humanity. Praise God. Amen. Here's something that happened in 1963 it came out of Lamb and Lion Ministries. In 1963, there was one of the guys, his name was Dudley Head. Dudley was serving as the lay preacher of a small church in South Dakota, and he desperately needed encouragement. One day, he got a telephone call from a stranger. He said, "Do you believe in helping people?" the man asked. "Yes, I do," answered Dudley. "Even if they are Jewish?" "Yeah," Dudley responded. The man then explained that he was a Jew who was stranded in the town and needed help. He said he was at a gas station on the main highway that passed through the town. Dudley drove over and picked him up. He was a young man in his early 30s. He said he had been hitchhiking from California. Dudley took him home and his wife fixed dinner for him. After dinner, Dudley asked the man if he would like to go to his church's Wednesday evening Bible study. The man agreed. They were studying the Old Testament, something none of the members of the church were familiar with, including Dudley. And as they began their study that evening, the Jewish stranger soon took over and began to explain the meaning of the scriptures. Dudley was amazed, enlightened, and encouraged. And then Dudley found a place for the man to stay that night and paid for his lodging. The next morning, he had disappeared without a trace. To this day, Dudley believes that man was an angel sent by God to encourage him and to get him interested in the prophecies contained in the Hebrew Scriptures. That's the Old Testament. And ever since that strange experience more than 40 years ago, Dudley has emphasized Hebrews 13:2 to everyone. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. For by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Amen to that. Amen to that. Just like some of y'all have experienced. Well, we're kind of running out of time here. Has anybody else got anything on the ministry of angels?
Michael?
Hey, Joe.
Good morning. I just for interest sakes, you were talking about Joseph a few minutes ago. Just for interest sakes, in Matthew 1:20, angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream. In Matthew 2:12, wise man being warned of God in a dream. And then two times again, angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. 2:13. And
yep.
2:19. And then another time in 2:22, he's been warned of God in a dream. And just quite a few times, Joseph been warned by God in a dream.
Amen. Yeah, God uses dreams to speak to us. I can't tell you how many times. You know, we got dreamers here. We got Eve, we got Sandy, we got Merlene, and other people. Matt does dreams. has dreams, and these dreams tell us what God either warns us of things that are coming, or he tells us what he wants us to pray about. And he's done that ever since I've been here. I didn't know that dreams were that important until I came here. I didn't really understand it. But now I understand that that's God talking to us. The dreams, also the words that we get every morning, is God talking to us too. He speaks to us through those words that he gives us. So, yep, this supernatural walk that God's got us on is just going to get better. Amen. Anybody got anything they... Thank you, Joe. That was awesome, man. Yeah, the dreams are necessary in God's kingdom. All right. Anybody got anything else they'd like to talk about before we close out?
Yeah, Michael?
Yeah, Marlon. Go ahead, brother.
This isn't something I want to talk about, but my sister had just called us. She, I guess she had fainted and passed out, and I just like to pray for her. She comes to our Bible study, and she's heard the word, but she's pretty hesitant to speak it out and to stand on the promises. She's got spirits of fear and all kinds of spirits, but I'd just like to pray for her. Have everyone agree.
All right.
Lord, I just lift up my sister to you. Help her to stand on what your word says, not what the doctors tell her or what anyone else tells her. And we just come against that spirit of fear. We cast you down in Jesus' name, that you're not able to do anything in her. And again, we ask that you send your ministering angels to her, Lord. Help her to believe what your word says and to stand on those promises. And we just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in her. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, that she is healed and is also being drawn towards you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Okay, anybody else? Amen. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another night of good things to talk about. Anytime we talk about the things of the kingdom, Lord, it's just awesome, awesome time. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's been an awesome time for me, and I know it has for the people out there. And I thank you for it. Lord, I ask and I pray that you be with us this weekend, all the next few days, that while we're out doing whatever it is that you want us to do. Lord, help us to overcome. Help me to overcome. Help us all to overcome these things that have hindered our walk with you, Lord. And I ask that in the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes, Lord, we have such trouble overcoming these little things sometimes, you know, and we just ask for your help in them in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that not only are you going to help us, you're going to clean us up, and you're going to put us on that holiness walk, that road to the holiness, Lord, and we praise you for it. We're going to be on the top of Mount Zion, Lord. We know that. We believe that. We speak it by faith, Lord, that you have put us on top of Mount Zion, and we're all going to be in the bride because we believe. We believe, and we read in your word, Lord, that we call those things that are not as though they were. And we praise you for it. We do it because we love you, Lord. We love you so much. And I just ask and I pray, Lord, that you be with us, protect us, and deliver us from anything in the next few days, Lord. And I thank you for it. Draw us nigh to you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Give us a good night's sleep every night, too, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, all right. Good night, folks. God bless. Hey, wait a minute. What do y'all want to talk about next Tuesday? Anybody got a plan?
About dreams.
Huh? What's that?
What about dreams?
Okay. That sounds good to me.
It was just the one thing that was last mentioned there. Now, yeah.
Okay.
A dream there.
one time in their life anyway.
Yeah.
Dreams okay. and visions.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Dreams and visions for next Tuesday.
It's all over the Bible.
Absolutely. All right.
It's all over this house, too.
Yeah. All right. God bless you.